Now here in verses 6 to 9, Peter refers to the practical life of these readings. He writes about their present condition. What is the actual state of these believers? There are many things written there, but two main things are there. He says, I think it is summarized in verse 6. Even verse 6 can be taken as the summary of the whole book of 1 Peter. What do we read there? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You see two things there. Greatly rejoice. Okay? Then, grieved by various trials. Verse 8 again, you see. End of verse 8. We read there, you rejoice with joy inexpressible or unspeakable, full of glory. Then, okay, so two things are written there. Greatly rejoice and grieved by various trials. Unspeakable joy, one side. At the same time, they are going through trials. Not ordinary trials, grieved, painful trials, manifold trials, various kinds of trials. Is it possible? See, is it possible for a man, for any individual, to experience joy, unspeakable, at the same time, manifold trials, painful conditions, sufferings? See, in the human point of view, it's impossible. When there is joy, there is joy. When there is suffering, it's suffering. When there is trials, joy will go. When there is joy, sufferings will go. This is an important or unique feature of Christianity. What is that? Christian can rejoice in spite of trials. See, when you read the Bible, you get some Christian paradoxes. That itself is an interesting study. There are many paradoxical experiences that a Christian can face or experience in his life. For example, you see, the Bible says, New Testament, we are supposed to die so that we may live. When we try to live, we die. When we die, we live. That's what the Bible says, New Testament says. When we give, we get. The world will say, you give, finished. Whatever you got is got. Whatever you have given is given. Finished. But the Bible says, when you give, you get. Totally contrary to the teaching of the world. But our example is, be the last. Then you will be the first. Another thing, weak, strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Go down, you will go up. The Lord, he went down, he went to the top. Went down. And the same way, similarly, you see here, much sorrow, unspeakable joy. So this is a paradoxical experience of a Christian, to rejoice at the same time to go through various trials. In the midst of all the trials, rejoice. See, in chapter 4:13, Apostle Peter again refers to their sufferings. Beloved, do not think it is best all strange concerning the fiery trials. Then she says in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. You may also be glad with exceeding joy. So 4:30, writer says, in chapter 1 he says, you rejoice, that is a condition. In 4:30 he says, keep on what? Rejoicing. Today you are rejoicing, okay, that's very good. You trust the Lord, you love the Lord, don't go to Him, and you have full faith in Him, and you are happy in spite of the trials. And you're going to face more fiery fire, yet you should rejoice. See, we can go to that aspect of suffering later on when you go to chapter 4. But today, from here, my emphasis is on Christian joy. Christian joy. The joy of a Christian. From these verses, we understand three things about Christian joy. Joy of a Christian. First of all, we can observe from here. One thing from John chapter 1 and 4 and many other references from the New Testament. Joy is an essential Christian experience. Essential means basic Christian character or Christian nature or Christian experience. Every Christian. Now when we come to the New Testament, we have many references. We will just see a few verses. In the New Testament we have around 70 times the word, the reference to Christians' joy there. Reference, I don't know the word, but reference to the joy of a Christian. Around 70 times. 17 times in the book of Philippians, Paul refers to the joy of a Christian. In Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 9, let's see a few verses. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 9. From there we can understand, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So that means, it was something like a word of greetings in those days. When one will meet the other, he will say, instead of good morning, they will say, rejoice. Be happy. Rejoice. And you know that the book of Acts, we read Acts 2:26, we read there about the early Christians. 2:46 we read, in the end of 46, they ate their food with gladness. And in chapter 8, you know that verse, he accepted the Lord, he went away rejoicing. And when you come to chapter 16, 34, the jailers, he received the Lord, there he read, and the whole family, they were rejoicing. So from these verses, a lot of verses are there, we will go slowly. We understand that according to the New Testament, joy is a basic nature of every true born-again Christian. If I'm a Christian believer, if I'm a born-again Christian, joy, gladness, is my essential quality. See, in Matthew's Gospel 13, you have parable of a sower there. In 13 verse 20 and 21, we see the Lord gives the interpretation of stony ground there. You see verse 20. He who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word immediately, receives it with joy, verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So there we see about a person who heard the word of God, but he has no roots. Not truly been born again.
He heard the word. He had an interest for the gospel. He had a joy in the beginning. Not born again. No regeneration experience. So what happened? After a few days, his joy is gone. When persecution is there, opposition is there, his joy is gone because he's not a born again Christian. A false Christian, we can never enjoy sustained joy in his life. In the other way, joy is an essential quality of a true born again Christian. I have heard a story about one Bishop Taylor Smith from UK. He went to the US, Chicago, many years ago to attend some seminar or some program in the Moody Bible Institute. It was a long wait. Inside, the Lord servant met him there in Chicago, and by the time this Bishop Taylor Smith, he lost his voice out because of the long travel from UK. So I said, sir, how can I speak now in this program, in this Moody Bible School program? He said, I have come all the way from UK to preach, and I must preach. Then he preached. There were around 4,000 people listening to him, to us. That audience, there were around 4,000 people were there. Nobody could hear anything. Only those people who were sitting close to him, they could listen something. It seems in those days there was no sound system as we have today. But he was waiting. After that meeting, one man from the back, he came to him and said, sir, he said like this, these words, I didn't hear a word you said. I was too far away. But as I watched your face, as I watched your face, I was convicted that I must become a Christian. I believe it's a true story. It's not just it's a true story because the names are there. Einstein is a man of God, you know, and it's a true story. He says, I did not hear your words. Any message, what you preached. But as I saw your face, I was convinced. This is godly joy. Because joy is an inherent quality of a Christian. Do we have this joy? I know it's very hard to understand. We need to examine ourselves. Can we truly say that somebody else watching me without my knowledge, what kind of impression is it? And is joy is they are able to find in me? Without my word, without any introduction from my part, the people, general public, as they see me, what would be their impression about our life? Joy? Some special joy is found. The Bible says if you are true Christians, experiencing and enjoying that fellowship with the Lord, you shall be happy and glad, joyful. So that is the first thing we can understand about Christian joy. It is an essential nature or quality of every born again Christian. Now the second thing from how we can get from here is, see, it's supernatural in its basis as well as quality. I'll explain. I don't say it's from my memory or my logic, it's written there. Because that's what we have seen, these readers, they go through much times. At the same time, they are able to rejoice. This is not normal. This is not a joy that comes from the world. This is supernatural joy. Now, by the way, what does it mean by joy? And that also we must be careful about it. We need to understand what is joy. What is joy? I know, I should not ask. I'm not asking. You don't answer me. I'll answer it. But what is joy? Do we think that keep on smiling or laughing? See, according to your dictionary, it's written there, an emotion evoked by well-being. Listen carefully. Success or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what we desire. So, joy is, what is joy? Yes, what is joy? According to the dictionary, an emotion evoked by well-being, success or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. In other words, when we have something that we desire, happy. Money we have, happy, happy. We got so much money this month, so much payment I had, oh, so happy. Whatever I desired, I got, so happy. Now that's not according to the human human understanding, that is joy. Joy means an emotion evoked by well-being. When everything is okay, happy. When everything is not okay, not happy. But that is not Christian joy. Christian joy or spiritual joy, according to the Bible, is not a joy based on money, possession or position, or what we get, happy desire. It's not at all based on these circumstances, these external factors. This is something else. What is that? The Bible says, little things in from chapter 1 verse 6, we have seen that. Joy unspeakable and science. In the book of Philippians we read, Philippians 3, 1, Apostle Paul says, you rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. So our joy is in the Lord. Maybe if you can connect it, I have no problem in between. Sorry? If you can do it in Brahman within 1 or 2 minutes, you know? Yeah? Yeah. I have no problem. Sorry? No, I don't have laptop. I didn't bring it. Oh, okay, again, interruption, no problem. Okay. Continue with our topic, and today we have interruption in between, no problem. That's good sometimes. So what we have seen already, because it will help me also, that's why I'm trying that if we can get it, you know. So what is joy? According to human term, when people have money, they have joy. But according to the New Testament, our joy comes from. I was referring to those verses of Philippians 3:1, rejoice in the Lord. In other words, if there is Nehemiah, he said, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10. There is Romans 14, verse 17, we read there, the joy in the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5:19, we understand, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, what we can say, the joy that a Christian possesses, it comes from where? Comes from God. How? As a result of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has implanted a joy in our heart. When we accepted the Lord as our Savior. So when we got saved, He got not only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, along with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have the joy of the Lord. Or the joy of the Lord, or a Christian's joy is the result of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not at all connected to any circumstances at all. Not affected by circumstances. Not based on circumstances. So that's why a believer's joy can never be affected by. My joy is not based on circumstances. So my joy cannot be affected by circumstances. So that's a beautiful verse in Psalm 4:7. See, Psalm 4:7. You know that verse? Psalm is saying, yeah, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season, that their grape and wine increased. See, David says about his gladness. He says, I have more joy. Who has given that joy? Who has given that joy? You have put more gladness. Psalm 4:7. You have put more gladness in my heart. How much gladness? The gladness they had when they had more wine, more grain, they had joy. But I have much more joy than they have, even though I don't have so much wine and so much grain. So a Christian's joy is supernatural joy, not at all based on circumstances, and it can never be affected by circumstances. And one more thing you must understand along with that, we can never create spiritual joy. We can never try to be happy by doing certain things. We can never, try to show that I am happy when we have no happiness of Christ, when we have no joy of Christ. Because our joy, Christian's joy, is supernatural joy. It should come from God. It should come from us as a result of our fellowship with the Lord. It should come from within as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural joy. At the same time, this joy should never be affected by our circumstances. Whatever may take place around us, it should never destroy our joy. That's what we saw in this 1 Peter 1 6. These readers, manifold trials, lot of problems, but they are exceeding for an unspeakable joy. We have in the book of Acts itself, we read there, Acts 16, we understand, Apostle Paul and companions, they were in the chain, but that what they were doing? Rejoice. Singing praise. Acts 5:41, we read there, rejoice. Why? Acts 5:41, we read there, disciples were beaten. And if you read there, they left that place rejoicing. Why? Because God has chosen us to suffer. So they were rejoicing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10. One more thing is found there. Now an interesting verse, Apostle Paul says there. We read there 2 Corinthians 6 10. Are sorrowful. And again that paradoxical statements are there. Are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. So there is Paul says, we go through much sorrow, but always rejoice. Such kind of joy it is. Very sad thing to see Before that, I should say, it's glad to, so glad to see that many, have been many Indians, very poor. No proper place to stay, no proper payment, 3,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees per month. But happy in the north. Very poor, rich in Christ, rich happiness, rich joy, rich in the joy of the Lord. But I have been rich, very rich, poor in the Lord, poor in the joy, no happiness, no spiritual joy. And you meet for such people, your joy also will, our happiness also will. Because happiness and joy, you know, it's an emotional thing, and it, you know, it influences. Influences. When I am happy, the other also will be happy. When I will smile, the other will smile. When I will cry, the other also will cry. That's normal human, you know, tendency. Believer, Christian, true believer, Bible says, is a happy, joyful Christian, in spite of all the sufferings they have. Whether they are poor or rich, whatever may be the condition, whatever may be the condition around them, rejoice. Now one more thing, I told you three things which are noted from there. One more thing we understand from here. That is this. We are exhorted to exhibit Christian joy. Now I told you 1 Peter 4:13. In chapter 1, Peter referred to their present experience, that is joy, in spite of trouble. In 4 he says, you keep on rejoicing in the Lord. Even if you are going to face fiery trials. So that means, not only there in chapter 4 verse 13, the many other verses where we see, the Bible says to the Christians, you rejoice in the Lord. We have referred to Philippians 3:1. Philippians 3:1, Apostle Paul says, you rejoice in the Lord. Again I say, I don't find tedious. See, Philippians 3:1, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious. You rejoice, brethren. I tell you repeatedly, you rejoice. One more version in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you know that? Rejoice? Always. Rejoice always. There are many other verses. Deuteronomy 12:7. We read there, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7. We read there. Peter 3. See, there we see, maybe we shall read that. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 3. There we read, the Lord exhorts through Moses. What is that? 12 verse 7. As you shall eat before the Lord your God, you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, and you and your households, in which the Lord has blessed you. 16 verse 11. Again. 16 verse 11. We read there. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You see, in Deuteronomy, you see, God commands the people of Israel. Then you will reach Canaan. What you shall do? You shall rejoice. Come together. Rejoice in the Lord. John's Gospel 17, verse 13. We know that it is the intercessory prayer, high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. In that prayer, the Lord refers to the joy of Christians, believers. You know that He prayed for us. Not only for them, I pray for them who will believe in my name.
You so John Chapter 17, verse 13. You read there. But now I come to you, these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The law is concerned about our joy. When you read, upper room, discourses, you read there, repeatedly the law refers to our joy, or the joy of the disciples. 16 verse 22. 16 verse 22, John's Gospel 16, 22. We read there, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. So what I am trying to say is, in all these verses, we understand the Bible says, or the Bible exhorts us to rejoice. The Lord doesn't want you and me to live with a gloomy, the Lord wants us to rejoice. That's what the Bible says. That's what I understand the Bible. The Lord says, you rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, of course, you have seen. Even though in the midst of trials, that is Christian paradoxical experience. That is the unique feature of Christianity. Rejoicing in the midst of all the trials. So if it is the commandment of the Bible, it's a disgrace to the Lord to live like what? I don't say poor man. I don't say live like disturbed person. Live like in unhappiness, gloom, sad. We are supposed to rejoice in the Lord, even if there is poverty, even if there is death, even if there is sickness. Whatever may be the condition, we are supposed to rejoice in the Lord. Because I think it may be because the Lord is so concerned about our joy, because He knows very well in this world there is no happiness. There are people around us without any joy and happiness, satisfaction. They are searching for peace and happiness. And our joy can influence others. So the Lord wants us to be happy and rejoice in the Lord, because it affects, it will influence. And another interesting feature we need to remember, when the Lord said, I am going to die, that is the main theme in 13 to 17, The Lord is aware of the suffering He is going to face. He lived as a man of sorrow, we understand that. We don't know, we see any expression of His joy found there, I don't know. But the thing is, the Lord is, you rejoice. You will have sorrow, but you will rejoice. And your joy, nobody will take away. In other words, He took our sorrow. He took our pain. He took our sufferings. And He wants us to rejoice in the Lord. So we have seen three things about a Christian's joy. New Testament Christian joy. What is that? It's a natural feature of a Christian's life, or essential quality of a Christian, because of our union with the Lord. It is supernatural. It's divine joy. Joy of the Lord. And it is, we have been exhorted to exhibit joy. You're not exhorted to exhibit your sadness, your troubled feelings. Rejoice in the Lord. The question is, do we have the joy? So we have to consider, what is the reason why we are not able to exhibit joy as God wants us to exhibit? Now from here, that is in 1 Peter chapter 6 to 9, we understand these readings. In spite of the troubled or painful experiences they had, they were rejoicing. Now you have to ask them, what is the reason why you are rejoicing?
Now we have to find out what made them to rejoice. Unspeakable joy. Then that means that is the reason why we can also rejoice. For those things will enhance our joy. For the absence of those things can hinder our joy. So we have a lot of things there, of course. We have only 10 more minutes. Let us try to see what is the main reason why they were rejoicing. Of course, the main reason is their connection to the Lord. That is true. But they are able to exhibit that joy in such a way. Even Peter could say, you rejoice exceedingly. So what made them to rejoice so much? You will find many things there, but I think only one thing is more important. You can summarize the whole into one thing. What is that one thing? Let's read again. In this means what? In this means, I believe he is referring to those verses above, those preceding verses. What is that? In this you rejoice. He refers to what great things God has done for them. They are aware of those things. Peter only reminds them. Because they know these things. What are those things once again? Then let us try to repeat it. We can summarize it in this way. They are aware of their relationship with God. God has begotten them. That is one thing. And they are aware of their eternal inheritance. Reserved inheritance. And they are aware of their own security kept by the power of God. And another thing, we read there, from here, you know, it's written there, verse 7. Yeah, they are aware of the truth about the future things. And that also was there in the end of verse 5. Verse 5, salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So these readers, they were aware. They knew God's plan. They knew God's purpose. They knew the plan of God. They knew what God is doing in their life. That awareness. And something more is there. Not only those four things. Now in here, in verse 7, we read there, read carefully, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found. In other words, these readers, they understood something more. They understood those four things. Is it working? Okay. Okay? They understood those four things. Their relationship with the Lord. Okay, then? Their eternal inheritance. Truth about future. And also truth about what? Their sufferings. When you read 6 to 9, that is a summary there. These believers are aware of the plan of God in connection with the sufferings they are going through. What are those things? They understood. Paul Peter says, for a little while, you have been grieved by various trials. So they knew about the trials. It's only temporary. Okay, it's only temporary. Then also they understood that it is purposeful. Purposeful means it is written there that trials are purposeful. For what? the genuineness of your faith, it is to prove the genuineness of their faith. These readers, they were aware of the truth that their sufferings are for good. God has a purpose. What is the purpose? To prove their faith. How much genuine is their faith? Just like precious gold is melted, remove the dirt of it, and it will come so precious, so costly. For people saying your faith is very costly, and God is refining it. God is removing the dirt, but God is proving that your faith is precious, your faith is genuine. So that also they understood, and then we understand, end of verse 7, they understood something more about their sufferings. They understood that may be found to praise, honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, by the end we shall see it. At the summary, you know. So listen carefully, what I'm trying to say is, we are trying to find out what hinders our joy. Or in other words, what can enhance our joy? How can we exhibit joy of a Christian in a much more better manner? How can we live in such a way that others will find some speciality in us? What is the summary? What is the main point? From here, awareness, knowledge, understanding of God's word. Understanding of God's word. Understanding God's purposes, God's plan. So that is the first thing. That is the main thing. The Bible says very clearly, there are many other references in the Bible. Psalm is saying in Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6, when I meditate upon you in my heart, you know, my heart is rejoicing. There is joy in a Christian's life when he meditates upon the word of God. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15 and 16, I found your word and I ate it. It was joy to my heart. So, spiritual joy will come from where for a Christian? When we meditate upon God's word. When we come to understand, these are the things that God is doing for me, I will rejoice. The other day,